Yeah.
Some people choose food. Some people choose alcohol. Some people choose drugs. Like, my high is insane edges.
Hey, GP13 here. I just want to quickly intro this episode. This is an interview I recorded with Drew Morgan. Drew is currently one of the best DFS pick'em players in the space. He's in there every day battling with the sites, putting in crazy volume and making even crazier money. So if you're a bettor right now who's looking to take that next step, this is a can't miss episode. Drew and I go into depth about how he started, how he got from where he started to where he is now, what are his goals for the future, and just tons of advice for people who are at any stage along that journey. So listen in, give us a like, give us a share, and I'll see you on the other side. Hey, what's up, everybody? GP13 here, joined today with a very special guest, a good friend, absolute crusher in the DFS Pick'em streets. Got Drew Morgan with us. Drew, what's up? How's it going?
What's going on, GP? It's an honor to be on the podcast. Looking forward to talking about a lot of things, and very glad to meet you over the last couple of months. And
yeah,
you know, talking about certain things and sharing certain experiences. So looking forward to getting into it with you, man.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, Drew and I have become friends over the past couple of months. Started Twitter DMs. I think maybe I slid into your DMs, or I don't even know, but you know, start of a beautiful friendship. Drew, absolute monster with the volume. And you know, one thing I really respect about Drew is that he's big on just giving away free good education, which is rare in the space, but it's like what I'm also trying to do. So, you know, props to you on that. And yeah, let's get into it. I have a question for you.
Sure,
go ahead. Teed up. I want to talk about, so, you know, I'm sure there's now you post good results, you know, 20K months and, you know, or more. And I know that when people see that, sometimes they'll be like, oh, must be nice, big bankroll, you know, whatever it is. But I was going back through your tweets and I saw one of your tweets saying, you started with 500, you're betting $5 units, $10 units. And you let compounding do the work and stayed the course. Can you talk about like starting out small bankroll for anybody who's out there in that situation now?
Yeah, of course. So like you said, I started with 500 and I was going around all the different DFS apps. So I live in Florida and I only have access to the DFS Pick'em sites. I don't have access to, you know, FanDuel or DraftKings, but just no brainer. So like before I was even like plus EV or edge betting or whatever you want to call it, I was just using common sense. Why not sign up for these apps, get their deposit bonuses, play the promos, and then along the way, I was learning how to actually bet. So the first thing I did at the end of January, after I went through my 2-month trial run of degen betting and not seeing many results, I just looked up like how to win betting, how to have an edge betting. And I forget exactly how I stumbled across the guy, but I came across Alex Monahan on YouTube. And it seems as if a lot of people, especially who have started EV betting over the last year or so, their story starts with finding his videos. Yep. And the funny thing about it, when I tell people like how I got started or whatever, I was honestly like EV betting before I even knew it was EV betting. Like before I knew what it was, I remember I used to go to work and I knew that Prize Picks, like, you know, you want to find the best odds, but I didn't know about fixed payouts. I didn't know about no vig odds. I didn't know about this or that. So before I was using an odd screen or DGF Fantasy or Odds Jam, I guess you could say it was an odd screen, I would go on RotoWire. And I would see if there was any NBA plays that were minus 135. Now, that's not even like an edge in a 2-pick power or a 5-flex. And I would see if there was odds of minus 135, because I knew if there was minus 140, it wasn't going to be on Prize Picks. And this is funny because this was before Prize Picks like actually gotten really sharp. Right. But like I would make a list and I would write it all down, and then I'd go out to my phone and I would like search all the players manually. And then I'd be like, oh shit, like I got two of them here, and I'd run like a two big power, a -135. But like I was doing those types of things in line shopping or trying to find the best value before I knew it. But then, so then I found Alex, I started watching all the videos, and it was just like a light bulb that came on. Like everything made sense right away. And I started using the principles that he, you know, showed in his videos. I was playing across all the different platforms, and I was just gaining more and more experience. And so like going back to what you originally said is, so yeah, I started with a $500 bankroll, but I was playing across all the different platforms. I'd play the signups, play the promos, but I would also play daily. And eventually it got to the point where, you know, I kept compounding. So in February, one of my, you know, make or break moments was a Super Bowl where I wagered like almost my entire bankroll. And it was to a point where if these didn't hit, I'm going to have to redeposit, or if they hit, then I'm good. And I had like a huge day on Super Bowl Sunday. Like I almost doubled my bankroll that day. And then that just made me more like hungry to, you know, learn more and more and more. And I felt as if I knew what I was doing to a certain point in the middle of March. And then that's when I don't know if I met my friend Shaky during that time, but he was one of the first people I met in the Plus EV community, and we were just going back and forth talking. But yeah, in the middle of March, like that's where my bankroll was like in the middle of thousands, and then it got to 2,000, and then in April, like it just went up like so much where I think I made like 2,500 or 3,000 in April, and then May was like 7,000. June was 12, July was 16. But my point is that we all start from nowhere. You're not going to come in and start with $10,000. Like, sure, there's outliers and stuff like that, but you have to have the hunger and desire to continue learning every day. Like, I feel as if I have a very strong foundation of, you know, betting, doing this every day, nonstop, for 9 months, but that doesn't mean that I'm complacent and feel as if I know everything. You know, I've learned a lot of things from GP, and we've only been friends for like a month or so. I've learned a lot of things from my team of dudes that I work with, where they're teaching me so many different things, and I've taught them so many different things. And that honestly goes into the importance of having a network of people. You can't do everything by yourself. There are some people that can, but it makes your life a million times easier. So I would highly suggest working with other sharp bettors, learning from them, you know, taking bits and pieces of knowledge from them, and making sure that you also provide value at the same time. That's going to, you know, make things significantly easier for you when you're going about things in your journey. And another thing I would say is when you're starting small, the big thing that you want to do is, you don't want to get complacent or scared to up your unit size. So like I've seen a lot of people where they have success and then they sort of plateau because they get scared of the number on the screen where it's like, oh, I can't go up to $20 units. Like that's just like too much. I don't know if it's like a real psychological thing for some people. I never was very petrified of doing so, but there have been specific times in my, you know, career of doing this so far where I remember when I had a monster jump in May and I was up to $100 units. And I remember seeing people like Alex on Twitter, like just regularly posting $100 plays. And it's like, man, I can't wait to get to that unit sizing. Like that'd be so cool. Like, you know, I feel like when people are doing that, they sort of have more credibility, but there's so many people out there that, you know, have larger bankrolls and aren't successful bettors. But I also looked at it like, well, they probably got there from starting small and there's a reason why their unit size is so big. But I remember, I think there was like a 3-week period where I made a jump from like 40 to 100. And, you know, people like to say that there isn't much of a psychological aspect when it comes to betting, but something like that, it really is. at least for me, because with betting, I feel like the winning and the losing, it can, you know, take a massive effect on you or a lot of people, especially the losses. And if you're to be losing like $100 units compared to maybe like $5, $10, it's a lot easier to stomach those smaller losses than the bigger ones, especially if you were just placing $5, $10 wagers, you know, a month or so ago. Nope. But yeah, man, I mean, I didn't get here, you know, like from just, you know, starting with a ton. Like right. That's something that I take great pride in, is starting at 500 and working my way up. I'm over 85,000 profit for the year, including profits not on picket. And like, I'm a firm believer if anybody can do it. Like, I'm not this genius or savant or whatever. I'm just a dude that has a lot of passion, is obsessed with this stuff. It eats, sleeps, and breathes it like 24/7. It's really all I think about. There's no like work-life balance like with me. It's literally go, 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 you know, nonstop every day. And the reason why I'm like that is because I know things like this that aren't going to last forever. So when the value's there, you got to go all out.
100%.
But I know I went on a tangent with your first question.
No, that was perfect. That was perfect. Because I think it touched on a lot of the when I think about you, I think about work ethic, networking. I think one thing that you've taught me is that it's okay to be more open with your edges, because I think my generation was a little more closed off. You know, of course, I had friends in poker, I had friends in sports betting who taught me something, but we would never like post something on Twitter, you know. But at the end of the day, like, of course, don't post your massive edges on Twitter, but like posting some value on Twitter is good. It helps, you know, you meet people, it helps people, you know, give you value back. And, you know, it's an immediate way to like build a community, right? Like, what would you, how, of course you have, you've built a really solid community, but what would you say to somebody who's just getting into this week and who might not have a community? Like, how would you go about it if they wanted to connect with other sharp bettors?
What I would do is I would try to find all the people, just search YouTube, search social media in terms of, you know, like bettors, and then, you know, just follow what they do closely, see if they're transparent, see if they show wins and losses, see if they show actual reasoning as to why they do what they do, and then just reply and engage with a lot of their content and their tweets or whatever. Because, you know, that's where you're going to, you know, start to see, like, people are going to, you know, see who you are. And if you're asking questions and you're also providing value at the same time, a lot of other people are going to want to network and work with you. A lot of people in this day and age want to, you know, just receive things without giving things, where it should be a two-way street, not a one-way street. So if you're coming across, you know, people in this space, you know, give some things that you're noticing. So it would be harder for someone just starting out. If you're just starting out, just try to learn as much as you possibly can. Be a sponge and absorb as much possible knowledge that you can from all these different platforms, all these different accounts, and just soak everything in and just ask questions. And then use that knowledge that you acquired from these sharp bettors and apply it yourself in your own bets, and then just see what works, see what doesn't work. What works, go back to the guys that you're getting that information from, ask some questions saying, hey, I used this. It was really, really sharp. It worked, or it didn't work, and just go back and forth with them. You know, I love helping people. But my big thing is I love helping people who show initiative to learn first, instead of asking for a handout.
Yeah.
Because when someone like does that, then I feel so much more of a need and want to actually help that person, because I can see that they're trying to put in the effort themselves, instead of like someone messaging myself or responding to me like, hey man, where are the plays for today? It's like, dude, you got to learn how to do this yourself, because if someone's just not posting stuff on Twitter for you, you're not going to be able to know how to do things yourself. And I think it's very important to know how to do things yourself and being self-reliant than just relying on other individuals. Because I could still do what I do without a team. I would still be successful, but at the same time, I am much more successful with a team. So it's important to be able to do everything and know how to do things yourself. But at the same time, there needs to be a happy medium of working with other people. So, you know, don't just tail people, know how to do things yourself, but at the same time, work with a team, and it can make things easier for you.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more with the being willing to help people who just show a little. Like, if you come and ask me a question that, like, you could have Googled, I'm just not going to be, you know, like, it's just not, you're off the list of people. Although I want to help everybody, but you can only help so many people. So if you're going to approach someone like Drew, just do it thoughtfully. Like, there's so many people on Twitter that, you know, just want plays. And that's just like, if that's you, I don't know if it's the right fit for DMing someone like Drew, but if you're interested in why Drew's doing something, or have a question about something such as moving your bet size up. Like, let's say you hear this podcast and you hear about how Drew went from $40 units to $100 units, and you're in that spot. I'm sure if someone messaged you or replied in your comments, like, "Hey, I heard you on the podcast. You said that in 2 weeks you went from $40 to $100 units. I'm struggling psychologically with making a similar jump. Like, how did you do it?" You would definitely respond to that person, right?
Yeah, no, for sure. There's actually been instances where people have, like, DM'd me and stuff like that. And I mean, I literally just, like, gave my number out, and I've literally like called people and just talked to them. I don't know. I just, you know, that's just what I do. I don't know. I like helping people, but at the same time, you know, I don't want to ruin my own edges and ruin other people's edges by doing so. But yeah, I mean, wait, can you ask a question again? Sorry, I lost
thought of that. I was just talking about, like, how someone who shows some initiative, who showed they were, like, following you, listening, like, listened to the podcast, said that they were struggling with the same problem, where going from maybe like $40 to $100 units in a quick period of time, asked you psychologically how you did that. They're showing that they're invested, that they're going to put the time in, and now it's not a waste of your time, right? So you can only help so many people. So you might as well help someone who respects your time. So it's a two-way street, right? That's the easiest way to not get helped, I think, is just, like, ask a really lazy question.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, like, stuff like that, you know, you can try to, like, look it up on Google or YouTube, but there really isn't. You can just go to someone that actually dealt with it personally, and they can tell you, you know, what they did. And I've shared what I did to my team and other people in DMs. And, like I told you, I've, like, talked to people on the phone in terms of, like, what I did. At least for me, I consider, like, mindset and your mental, like, you have to be able to control your emotions as best as you can in this space, because there's going to be a lot of volatility. There's going to be a lot of variance, especially if you're betting on golf. There's going to be a lot of variance but you have to be able to, you know, win the psychological war when it comes to this type of stuff. And, you know, going back to what I was saying earlier, where there's just so many people that just couldn't make that jump. And for people, like, in the crew and in the team, I've pushed people so many times to up the unit sizing. And, you know, some people will get scared to do it, but you just have to look at it in terms of, you're following the same process, you're doing the same thing. The only thing that's different is the numbers on the screen. And as long as you're following proper bankroll management, you're going to be fine in the end. You're doing the same exact thing you'd be doing if you're placing that $20 unit compared to the $20 unit. Nothing changes besides the numbers on the screen. And I think that a lot of people It's just so hard for them to take that leap, but you have to do it. You have to be uncomfortable, you know, with things. You have to do certain things. If you want to continue to level up and not plateau, you have to do stuff like that, to go to the next level.
Definitely.
And, you know, I will always, you know, like help people that like reach out to me and ask like real personal questions like that. Because, you know, I'll answer the easy ones like from time to time. But if I see someone that, you know, is investing in this, is in it for the long term, is actually trying to make something out of this instead of just a quick buck, then yeah, man, like I'd love to help you.
Yep. I feel the exact same way. And I think so you're a Kobe Bryant fan, right?
Favorite player ever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Second favorite athlete ever behind Tiger.
Okay. Okay. Good. Good answer. So when I think about Kobe, of course, like I think if anybody thinks about Kobe, it's just like insane work ethic, right? Like that's Kobe Bryant personified. So how do you rank skills? Because I think I had a tweet about this, like where I kind of like ranked what I thought were the most important sports betting skills. I'm going to give you a few. Work ethic. What I would call a sturdy mindset, like a calm, you know, good mentals. You're not too high. You're not too low. Mathematical ability, coding ability, networking. Five. Can you give us a ranking in terms of success for sports betting?
Yeah. Let me sit here and think about it for a second.
Yeah. I surprised Drew with this one.
I would definitely say that work ethic is the most important, at least from my perspective and what has worked for me. I don't think that like I'm this like genius or whatever, you know, but one thing that I do know is that I work my ass off like doing this. That is no question about it. I made a tweet ago last week. I was up till 4 a.m. with one of my friends. Shout out R-Dubs if you're listening to this.
R-Dubs.
Yeah. If you're listening to this. And we were hitting NFL plays until 4 a.m. And for the last month or so, I've been staying up Friday nights and Saturday nights to like 4 a.m. getting in all the volume for college and NFL every single weekend doing it. And it sucks like placing that much volume, but that's what's worked for me. And I remember going to bed that night and reflecting, you know, where I'm at, where I'm going, and like sitting there and like telling myself, you know, if this thing goes away or everything dies or whatever, I couldn't give a single ounce more effort into this, you know, balancing a job, balancing a wife, balancing personal responsibilities. I could not give any more effort into what I do. And I think that that's what has made me as successful as I am, of having the work ethic to do what I do, and just learning how to do certain things. But work ethic for sure, number one, most important aspect. You know, hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard. Yep. You know, but if you're talented and you work hard, you're going to be unstoppable. I think I told you, GP, before, and I tell a lot of people this, is that if you have a dude who has somewhat above average intelligence, combine that with work ethic and passion and a drive, that dude's going to be unstoppable in whatever realm or arena they want to conquer. They're going to end up conquering that space.
For sure.
But yeah, work ethic, number one. And then I'd say number two is network. Reason being is that, so when I started my server, The Crew, at the end of May, it's sort of funny how this all came into fruition. Because so for a couple weeks, I was talking to my boy, iDrop Props. Shout out to him if you're listening to the pod. I know he said he's been listening to the pod recently. I'm glad he's been doing that. And more people should be listening to this because this thing is going to blow up. I already see the vision, GP. Like this podcast is going to blow up. Much bigger than, you know, than like people realize.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. But I remember talking to him for like in May. I was like, dude, we need to like create some type of like Discord or team of sharps or like nonstop hitting plays. Cause like, you know, he's one of the first people I met in the space. And I was like, this dude has crazy work ethic. He's always hammering plays. He's doing what I'm doing. Like, I spotted that really fast. And we would always share information back and forth, plays, DMing each other, whatever. I was like, dude, we need to do this, not just me and you. Imagine if we had like a team of like 20 dudes, 30 dudes, 40 dudes. So at the end of May, I told a lot of people this story when it comes to variance and bad stretches. I was at an all-time high bankroll of $13,000, which was mind-blowing for me at the time.
Right.
And then within 1 week, I went from 13,000 to like 9,000, which was, I think, like a 38% drop. I think it was calculated within 1 week. And that was like the first time in my career where I was very spooked. I sat there and questioned myself, can I do this? And if there's anybody out there who says that they don't question themselves at all, like, you know, I'm confident in my own abilities and stuff like that, but like doubt creeps in from time to time, even the best athletes in the world. I was watching the UFC interview yesterday with Kamaru Usman, one of the greatest UFC fighters of all time. And that dude, you know, he's one of the greatest welterweights or greatest welterweight of all time. And he was saying in his interview after he lost two in a row, you know, doubt started creeping in. Can I do this? Should I retire this or that? So as a sports bettor, you should be able to relate in that aspect of, you know, losing streaks can get to you. Now you have to put that to the side and know that, you know, in the end, the math trumps, you know, the variance, stuff like that, if you're actually betting smart. But the point that I'm getting at is that after that losing streak, the crew was formed. And then we started hammering plays together, and I've learned so much from those guys. Like, I've, you know, gave out a lot of what I knew to people in there, but I've learned so much from them. And I can't be seeing everything on every platform at all at once. So us working together, my ROI, I'd say, is probably double what it should be.
Wow.
Compared to, I couldn't give you an actual
number. Yeah. Of course. But it's impossible to.
Yeah. But like, I honestly attribute a lot of my success, you know, to my team, like 100%. Like, and my big thing too, in terms of working like with a team or networking and stuff like that is that it makes things easier for you, but it's also feels a lot better when you win 100%. With a team. Yep. And when you're losing, you guys all weather the storm together. You're not just in it together. So like, I'll give you an example. You know, one of our dudes who just joined recently, Juan, he's going through a really bad, you know, streak of variance. And he's like, I was looking for a group of people to work with and network with and, you know, get in. And we saw that on Twitter and we brought him in, and I had no idea he was dealing with variance. And then we all like told him our stories and like, you know, bad times we went through, like, you know, like trying to help them and like get them through. It's like, dude, you know, this is just a setback. You know, the comeback's bigger. It's loading and you're going to get through this. So it makes everything so much easier to deal with variance and hearing it directly from other people that dealt with it. But on the flip side, when things are popping off and going crazy. So I know I told you offline about the British Open and every golf better destroying that weekend.
Underdog, that was almost went under.
Like one of my favorite times betting, where where we destroyed Underdog so badly, and then the next week they got rid of strokes correlation.
Yeah,
and I'm not saying like that's our group who is responsible for that. Like no, like that would be ridiculous to even assume that. Like, you know, we hit them hard. Like every golf bettor was hitting overs correlation on Underdog. So like, you know, you're not going to sit there and be like, oh yeah, we're the reasons why that happened. But like all of us celebrating together and, you know, winning together, like it just makes everything sweeter. Like that's why when I was a kid growing up, I always played team sports, always like basketball, like just like how I said to you, like I eat, sleep and breathe betting. From a very early age, I eat, slept, and breathe basketball, like year-round. Like AAU, travel ball, rec league, summer camps, everything. That's all I did year-round, like as a kid. And you know, that's what I did. And it made everything like so much more sweeter. Like when we would win, like against a team that we had no business beating, and like someone hit a clutch shot and we won or whatever, or if we lost as a team, like, you know, it makes things better. And when you're dealing with bad shit, it makes things, you know, easy to handle when you're going through that. So I definitely say the network is number two. Would you mind saying the other three?
Well, I think honestly, the more I think about it, I think we keep it work ethic, network. I think the other three are just like a tier below, which would be mindset is important. Then there's math and coding ability. I don't think we need to have either math or coding ability to catch any strays on the show from our listeners who, you know, either like to model or code or whatever it is. So we can leave it. I think it's clear that those two, because also networking gives you access to the other three.
Like exactly.
You said, if you're going through a losing period and your mindset's cracked a little or shaken a little, having a network immediately improves that mindset if you're sharing with them, right? Same with, like, the thing is, like, I'm not an amazing coder. My partner, Dame, he's a good coder. We work together. It's no problem. Like, I don't need to be an amazing coder because, you know, I do other things that, you know, Dame might not have the same ability in one area I have in the other. And then extrapolate that times 300 for the crew and how many people are in it. You know, so I think that's, if you work hard and you network, I think at anything, you're just consistency. I think hard work is important, but it has to be consistent. And I think one thing you said earlier in the show was you do this every day. And I think, like, if you show up every day and you put in good effort, you're basically like, it would be impossible for you to not be successful. But I think one thing in gambling that is tough is the consistency, because the results swing, right? So how do you show up every day during these periods of, you know, wild fluctuations in bankroll and results?
So I'm sort of weird. It actually is funny to me. When I have big losing days or whatever, it actually like motivates me more. I don't know what it is. Like, some people get scared from it, or like they get, you know, they feel like they can't win or this or that. I don't know what it is. Like, I always like look at it like a challenge, and it's like, dude, I'm going to like come back from this, or like, you know, like I'm going to like win again. Like, I don't know. It's very weird. My favorite thing when it comes to betting is not having massive days or green streaks or whatever. It's breaking bad variance by having a monster day and then getting back on track. Or when you're in the midst of having a very, very bad day, and not like impulse betting or rage betting or, you know, chasing your losses, but having like where you flip the script on a day and you break even or like slightly or positive on a day. I love that stuff, because I just view this stuff as a challenge, and like I embrace those challenges. You know, being on winning streaks is cool, whatever, but, you know, and it's not like I love losing. Like, that's ridiculous. Like, no one loves losing. I hate losing more than I love the glory of winning. And any really competitive person will tell you the same thing, where they absolutely hate losing. But something that GP said on the pod and in his tweets is that if you want to be a successful bettor, you better be comfortable with losing. We're going to lose a lot. We're going to lose a lot. We are going to make up more than those losses with the wins. And ROI is going to trump those losses in the long term. But to sum up your question, I don't know, man. I love just coming back. I don't know what it is, like with sports or whatever. Like, I don't know. I like coming back, and I don't know, I make it like these own like games up in my mind or whatever. Like, all right, I'm going to come back from this. I don't know, whatever it is. I tell people whatever motivation you need to like keep you going, whether it's like stupid crap you have to make up or whatever, you know, like Michael Jordan, he used to make up like fake narratives in his mind to keep himself motivated. Like, whatever you have to do, whether it's you want to be successful for yourself, whether you want to be successful to prove all the people right that believed in you, whether it's you want to be successful to prove people wrong who are talking shit on you and doubting you, or you just want to do it to make money, like whatever it is, find that motivation and let it drive you. I have a lot of different motivations for as to why I want to be successful doing what I do that I use from time to time. Like there's a lot of different things that I pull from to keep me locked in and motivated every day. But I look at every losing day, bad day as an opportunity to come back from that and get back to all time highs and get back on track again. But I'm not saying it's easy. It's definitely not easy. It's significantly easier to just keep the momentum going with the green streaks.
Yeah.
Where it's like, oh dude, like I'm on a hot streak or I'm on a heater. I'm just going to keep going. But you have to realize is that there's variance. You're going to get your ass kicked. Like for example, I was down $3,000 at one point last night. Now I woke up to the Golf 20X cashing and then a League of Legends play cashing. So that dropped me down to only losing 1,000 yesterday. But I went to bed last night thinking, okay, I'm going to be down $3,000. Epic comeback loading for tomorrow with NFL. And I don't know. I don't know if that's that, like, that's the mindset I have. So like, you know, that's why I also view mindset as incredibly important thing. And you have to have, that has to be an asset, not a liability for you at sports betting. Because if you're soft and you can't handle losing and it consumes you and eats you alive, you're never going to be successful in this space.
I agree. I would tell you to just for your own sake to do something else because losing is inevitable. Like you said, you know, like I've said, the biggest winners have the most losing tickets. So you have to be comfortable with it because you want to lead some semblance of a happy life. And if losing is just like devastating to you emotionally, it's just not a fit. And that doesn't mean it's right or wrong. It's just like not a fit is what I would say. And it gets slightly easier. And there are things that you can do to make, like, I love what you said about finding motivation because like so many people I look up to talk about like, it doesn't matter, just find it. Because everyone has different motivations. Like you and me have different motivations. But what do? We each show up and we each bet each day and we each try to get better. It doesn't matter what mine is and what yours is. What matters is that we're doing it, right? So find what works for you. I think what Drew's saying there, it's so, so on the nose, so important. Like I'm really happy that you said that because I think that's going to help a lot of people who think they have to have the same motivation as Michael Jordan or they have to have this like Zen-like Phil Galfond, you know, I'm the happiest guy, I just win money, you know, motivation or whatever. But it's personal. And what works for you, that's okay. If you got this anger, but you can channel it productively, like for now, that's fine. Maybe you don't want to do that forever. But like for now, if that's what keeps you consistent, like that's okay. And then go from there. Just be consistent. I love that you said that. I probably had another question, but I'm buzzing off that comment. I think it's so good.
Something I did want to touch on is when it comes to variance, one thing that I'll say for anybody listening to this podcast, dealing with variance, doubting themselves, this and that, or it's your first real downstretch of your betting career, I will give this one piece of advice is that I went through several droughts, several bad streaks of variance. And I will tell you this, with each one that you deal with, you're going to become more and more confident that you're going to get out of that drought because you've done it so many times. You know, it's inevitable that it's going to end. It's not a matter of if, but when that bad streak ends. And it just makes things so much easier to manage mentally knowing that. And you're only going to gain that through experience. Like you can hear that from listening to me or GP talk about stuff like this, but you have to go out and experience it yourself first because, you know, it is numbers on a screen and stuff like that, but there is a mindset that comes to doing this type of stuff. You know, not everybody's fit to deal with things like this. and not everybody can do this, but in the end, as you deal with each stretch of variance, you're going to feel more and more confident that you're going to come out on the other side and victorious at the end.
It's 100% right. Because how you don't know you can do it until you've done it. Once you've done it, the next time, at least you knew you did it once. And the next time you know you've done it twice.
Yep.
And then you've done this for 14 years and you've done it 1,000 times. You're like, why am I still doing this? But I know I can do it.
Yeah. I mean, I've been through, I'd probably say like 10 to 12 stretches. Not like extremely bad. Like there's the one I already alluded to at the end of May, which was extremely bad.
Yeah.
But like just bad stretches, like, you know, and it's funny, like I might over exaggerate. Like if you guys follow me on Twitter, one thing that I pride myself on is that I don't like tout only wins, but like I it's like a snapshot in real time of like what I'm thinking, how things are going. And like people might look at it like, oh, this dude's complaining, this or that. And it's like, no, dude, I'm just telling you like how I'm feeling. Like I remember it was in September or August. I think it might have been August, where like I was only at like a 10% ROI for the month. And I was just like feeling very defeated and like things weren't going well. And it's like, dude, you're an idiot. Like 10% ROI is insanely good. And we in this space have become numb to how good of an ROI that is.
Yeah.
Because we're in easy mode right now where these apps are so easy to take advantage of.
Yeah.
That a 10% ROI for a lot of people isn't even really that good, which is ridiculous to think about. But I remember just like talking about it on Twitter, and then someone responded like, dude, why are you complaining about 10% ROI? This or that, like, you know, like you're doing great. And it's like, I'm just telling you what I'm thinking and like what I'm dealing with like right now, and just analyzing like my own processes and results in real time on Twitter. And that's one thing that I love to do. I just love to be transparent about my results, transparent about what I'm thinking at the time, because I'm a human. I'm not a robot.
Right.
I let things get to me, and I enjoy victories and stuff like that. I go through winning streaks. I go through losing streaks. You know, there's a lot of people out there on social media and in the betting community that only flex their wins. One thing that I have a lot of respect for in people in this space is when they show the losses, they show the bad streaks, they show the variance, because all of us go through it. It's just a matter of fact of, are you going to be transparent about it or not? And I'm not saying you have to do like a daily recap of, you know, your results or stuff like that, but just don't be that dude who only flexes their wins and then runs away and hides when they're losing. You know, you got to embrace that storm and show people like, hey, like, you know, I deal with this too, like, but I'm going to get through it just like how all you guys are.
For sure. You're great. I mean, everyone needs to follow Drew on Twitter. Is it at DM props?
Yeah. That's at my Twitter handle. Yep.
Yeah. Drew is, you know, one of the, so when I started getting into Twitter, I mean, I'm super new to Twitter. But when I decided to do like the content route a little bit and get into Twitter, I came across just like 95% trash. But I saw Drew's post. And I was like, immediately I knew, okay, this guy actually knows what he's talking about. Definitely going to give him a follow, because he just did honest daily recaps, unfiltered. It's refreshing, because it can be lonely, especially if you don't have a community during a losing streak. If all you see is the green tickets from these like accounts that are just trying to sell their Discord or whatever it is. So you think everyone's winning all the time. It's certainly not the case. And it's good to show the actual reality of advantage gambling, which is a lot of losing, but that's okay. Yeah. It's like you will lose, but that's okay.
Yep.
I love that. I love that you show that. And now I remember the question I wanted to ask you. So I do this full time. You do this and put in more volume than me, part time, with a wife, and you have a full time job, a wife, and you still put in more volume than me. So for people out there who are looking at this as a supplemental income stream, which is a lot of people, most of the people who listen to this, and they don't think that they can put in the volume. Of course, staying up till 4 a.m., not something everyone's going to be able to do. But how would you get them like 80% there to make this a very productive side hustle? Like, what do you tell the people who are doing this as a side hustle?
So going back to what I was saying earlier, the first thing you want to do is get all news promos, go through all of them, play the tacos, play the promos, play the discounts, do all that. And then I would find times in your day and in your schedule where you have opportunities to place volume, knowing when lines come out, when it's the most opportune time to get your volume in. So I'd say with NBA season on the horizon, I'd say that it's most important for you to get your volume in hours before tip off with whether it's injury news coming out, lineups announced, stuff like that. Get your volume in then. And then just knowing what sports you're all betting on. So like, for example, with golf, you know, I have a good idea of when Underdog drops golf lines. So I know, okay, I have to schedule time to be available to hit golf plays at this time. So it'll be available then. And just, you know, if something really matters to you, you're going to make time for it. I'm never of a believer of, oh, I don't have the time to do this or the time to do that. Like, I don't subscribe to that narrative at all. If something is truly important to you and you really want to do it, you will make the time. Everybody has the same 24 hours in a day, but if something matters to you, you're going to figure it out no matter what. But just look at your schedule on a daily basis. Know when things drop on a, you know, like typically, like for whatever sports you're betting on, and just try to open up time slots in your day to have that time to, you know, really hammer things. But with me, it's different because it's just an all day, like all day thing. Like, you know, I get busy at work sometimes, or like I come home and spend time with my wife and stuff like that too. But, you know, I have been sacrificing a lot in terms of like social life and things like that. And it comes to a point where you have to make that personal decision in terms of, you know, what's more important to you. Do you want to, you know, make more money and sacrifice a social aspect, or, you know, do you want to, you know, sacrifice more time and go out with friends and, you know, sacrifice more time getting in volume for sports betting? But the big thing I just say is just knowing when things drop is important. Like for basketball, for hockey, for golf, for esports, whatever it is, just study when Prize Picks, Underdog, Parlay Play, whatever platform you're betting on, typically drops lines. And get your volume in through there. I know a lot of people who are successful only an hour and a half, 2 hours a day. If that works for you, that's great. I haven't tried it myself. The only method I know is just like all day, every day. Like I don't know
what to do with the other time.
Yeah, so like I'm a bad example of trying to give people advice. I'm like, all right, just do an hour a day, work-life balance, because there is no work-life balance for me. Like there's just nonstop go. You know, like the last couple of days I actually texted GP. We were supposed to do the podcast the other day. I was like, dude, I can't do the podcast. I'm so sleep deprived and exhausted, because I would stay up till 2 a.m. watching golf because I love watching. And then I wake back up at 4:35 in the morning because I know the golf lines would drop. So because I was like, dude, I can't miss the value on drop. I don't want to eat other people's bumps. So like I was sacrificing sleep. I was sacrificing things to do that. And I'm not, you know, condoning and suggesting doing that. I'm crazy. Like I do things like that. You know. But I also look at it too, like, and going back to your question with motivation and stuff, like, it's weird, dude. Like, I get a motivation of who the fuck is doing what I'm doing? Who's watching golf till 2 a.m. and waking back up at 4:30 to hit plays? And that, like, gives me this, like, extra drive to, like, do more, where it's like, yeah, I'm not really competing with other people, but, like, in my head, I sort of am, because, like, I want to be the best. Like, I don't know if it's an ego thing or whatever. Like, a lot of people have it. They don't want to admit it. But, like, I want to be the best. Like, I want to outwork other people and be successful. So, like, that's just another thing that drove me to do what I did the last couple of days, because, you know, the golf tournament was in Japan, so it wasn't, you know, terrible. A typical time frame.
Terrible.
So, like, that's what I've been doing the last couple of days. And, you know, it worked out in my favor where, you know, I was getting a lot of volume in before bumps came in, and it pays off dividends.
For sure. I remember early on in my betting career, I knew when, specifically when DraftKings, I mean, when everything drops, but there's this period of time, there's a 10-minute window basically between when something would drop on a site and when it would post on DataGolf. And I was the king of that 10-minute window. No matter where, I could be at dinner, and if I knew, I had this like inkling that DraftKings was about to drop something and it wasn't going to be on DataGolf, I was like, refresh my phone. Lines dropped. And I already knew, okay, I'm going to bet this at that and this at this or whatever. Yep. Like, and I knew I needed to get it in before DataGolf just in case, like, they posted the same play and it would get steamed and the number would get worse. That 10-minute window was like everything.
Yeah.
Everything. And I was like psychotic about being in that. Like, if I missed that 10-minute window, I was so mad at myself. Like, I couldn't forgive myself.
Dude, I have like a similar story. So I remember I was this actually happened twice, but I'll just tell the one story.
Yeah.
So I was at my buddy's party, his wedding engagement party or wedding shower party, for whatever you want to call it. And I was at the party, and I knew that Eurogolf was going to be dropping on Prize Picks and Underdog.
Yeah.
I knew it was going to be dropping, but I was at this party. So I was like, all right, I'll try to get it in, but, you know, I probably won't be able to. And as we were leaving the party, I wasn't checking my phone, and I get text messages from several people in the team, like, yo, Eurogolf just dropped like 5 minutes ago. And I checked the data, I checked the lines on Prize and Underdog, and everything was bumped. And I remember just like driving home so pissed off.
so
pissed off that, like, yeah. I everything was bumped up like a half a stroke or even a full stroke. And it's like, it's like there's like a pride thing where it's like,
for sure,
I'm not placing these bets. I'm not eating other people's bumps. Yeah, like, fuck this. Sure. Like, I'll just sit on the sidelines and I'll play the ones that weren't bumped that are still like decent value.
Yeah. But,
like, I hate missing out on insane value. Like, I'm like a crackhead for finding crazy value. Like, some people choose food, some people choose alcohol, some people choose drugs. Like, my high is insane edges. That's my own personal high, dude.
That is actually that's true of, I think that's true of everyone. I know that's true of, like, if you read Billy Walter's book, that's 100% true of him. His whole life, he chased having an insane edge, and that to him was more valuable to him than, you know, anything else. And, you know, am I advocating for that? I don't know. That's my, I love a good edge. I would rather win money on a nice edge than just someone get paid money for doing something. If I find a good edge that and make money from that, that's money's like twice as valuable as other money. I don't know why. Yeah. It just is.
Dude, I just love it too, because I love, like, I actually tweeted about this. I was sort of getting into it with the hot streak employee because I was complaining.
Brett's my boy. I'll just say I like Brett. I like you. I don't want to mediate the.
I don't dislike the guy at all. There's nothing personal between me and this dude. But I was just going back and forth with him, and I was just saying that I take it personal to kill these books because they are very predatory, and they latch on to people who suck a lot and losing thousands, and then give them free plays to keep them hooked.
Yeah.
So I take it like very personal, where it's like when I find an insane edge or someone in my team finds an insane edge and they tell me about it or I find it, whatever, I'm going to maximize my edge and 100%. Exploit it as much as I can, because I know that these platforms, you know, take thousands of people and don't feel bad about it at all. But for then sure. When it comes to a sharp better, taking advantage of exploits or glitches or whatever, they limit you or ban you. That's just one of the other motivations that I have, where it's like, you know, it's
an epic motivation.
Yeah, like I wanna destroy them because they take advantage of people, you know, who are idiots and just, you know, casually degen bet and stuff like that.
For sure. I love being on our side of the counter, I'll say. Because it's easy to easy to feel like there's no movie made about, like, no one's, you know, playing a sad violin for the sports books who are not, don't get, you know, like, the hero of the movie isn't the sports books who, like, have this VIP program and keep ratcheting up, like, the losing players and taking more and more money. There's no movie about that. The movie's about the blackjack team at MIT. The movie's about, you know, Rounders and Matt Damon trying to go against, you know, Teddy KGB in the house. Like, those, it's nice to be on this side and use that as motivation because, you know what, like, you're here, you're trying to use your brand, you're trying to win, you play by the rules, and they don't like that, so fuck them. You know, like, and I have, you know, friends who work on that side of the counter, and I think there's a need to have sports books as market makers and whatnot. Like, they make a market. I certainly don't want to do their job. I don't want to have to, like, make a market for every bet. But I just think there's some middle ground that needs to be found that hasn't been reached yet. But until it does, like, you know, max those edges. It's a war, right? Like, you can shake hands at the end of the day, but, like, it's still, you're still playing, you're still battling, right? Like, you gotta go for it while you're on the court. And then if you like, you know, I have friends on the other side of the counter. I'm certainly, like, you know, we're still friends. I've always had friends in poker who I've played against. Like, I'm not gonna not try and take their money at the table, but we're still gonna have, you know, we're still gonna get dinner after or whatever, you know? It's just part of it.
Yeah. The movie Rounders is it's one great. Of my favorite movies ever. That movie is so good, dude.
Yeah.
I fucking love that movie. Amazing movie.
Yeah, I was actually at dinner and someone was asking me about 21 and my favorite gambling movies, and they said, you know, 21 and Molly's Game. I was like, you're not even including the best.
Yeah, those aren't even on the same level as Rounders, dude.
Yeah, you're missing.
Not even close, dude. Yeah, Rounders is leagues above those movies.
For sure. It's such an amazing movie. I'm so happy that Rounders exists for poker. Because, you know, it's hard to get a movie with such star power and a good script. And Rounders is pretty accurate to the underground poker scene. Like, it had people who are pros in that scene consulting, and it's just like an all-time movie. You know, it's rare for a niche, you know, whatever game, sport, whatever you want to call it, to get that treatment. So shout out to Matt Damon, Ed Norton. That's the dream. Yeah. We get a Worm. Matt, if we get Ed Norton on the podcast as Worm, that's when I know he has to literally act as Worm on the podcast.
Dude, he's such a bastard.
Yeah. He's such a bastard. He's such a bastard.
Oh,
so funny. I'm trying to think if I had any parting thoughts for you. I guess, you know, what's one thing the audience can do today? I think this will be coming out on a Wednesday, but just like on any day, one day they hear this one thing that's just immediately going to increase their ROI that you want to leave them with.
Let me think about this one for a second, because I don't want to give a shitty answer.
Yeah.
I think I'll give it a two-part answer to your question. So I would say, first, start with the foundation. Learn everything you can and always have a thirst for knowledge. Like, never get complacent. Never think that you know everything. Question things that you already know and see if that's true or not. I'm still constantly questioning things I do on a daily basis. Does this work? Does this not work? And it's led to my results, you know, being better, because your edges are not going to be permanent. Things are going to change and you have to adapt. You have to be constantly adapting. The scene is always going to be changing. So the first thing I would say is, never get complacent, never be satisfied with how much you know, and always go out and ask questions. Never get an ego and think, oh, I make a lot more than this guy. Like, I can't learn from him. Dude, there's so many people that, you know, like, I've made like a lot more than them, but they know a lot more than me on certain yep. things. And I ask them, you yep. know, about certain things. And it goes the other way around too, where like people who are a lot bigger than me, I will ask them a lot of questions about what they're doing with this, what they're doing with that. Just ask a lot of questions, be curious, never let that curiosity die within you. Like, I always want to be learning and seeking out stuff like that. I love it. Like, that's a part of this game of just learning new things, applying new principles, and then just constantly every day trying to learn something different and apply it. So the first thing I would say is never get complacent, always ask questions, keep learning more and more every day. And then number two, we've been talking about it and reiterating it over and over on this podcast episode, but meet people and network. Mm-hmm. So that goes hand in hand with the first one of asking questions. It's so important to know people, having resources to pull from. You know, we live in a world where it's not what you know, but who you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I consider it like a great honor to be on this podcast and being friends with GP, who I consider a good friend already and a mentor that has like taught me a lot of stuff like that. And this, the network that he has access to that I could potentially talk to other people, like, is amazing. And it goes both ways where, you know, GP has resources and stuff where he can give to me, but it's like, hey, I'm going to also provide to you at the same time. And just network with people, man. Like, you're going to learn so much from other people, and people are going to make your life easier by just talking to them and figuring out what they know, what they don't know. Tell them what you know. And you're going to expedite your learning curve significantly faster when you work 100%. With other people, when you work with other people than just working by yourself. You know, don't have the ego of, oh, I can just do this by myself, this or that. Like, yeah, you could be successful if you're smart and work really hard and just constantly learn, but you're going to be way more successful working with a team. You know, Billy Walters, the greatest sports gambler of all time, is not successful because he did everything himself. This dude had a full-blown operation.
Yep.
And it's the main reason, or one of the main reasons, as to why he is or was as successful as he was. Because, you know, he had that amazing team and infrastructure set up for him to be successful as he was. Yeah. So I'm not saying you have to go out and make a team or make a Discord or this and that, but have a group of people that you can pull from and learn from and ask them questions, and you can give them information. Because it's going to make everything so much easier for you. So, you know, just go out and do those two things, and you'll most likely, you know, be where you want to be at the end of the day. But yeah. never stop, never get complacent. And just continue progressing, you know, each day more and more. Try to get 1% better every day.
That's it. That's the wise words right there. Well, Drew, thank you. Also, thank you for the nice things you said at the end about me. Like, I have learned a lot from Drew, and it's a good example of how it's a two-way street. Have I been doing this for a bit longer? Yeah, but I look at Drew as someone I learn a lot from and get a lot from. And I hope I give back the same value to him. And it's not really about where you are, how long you've been doing this. It's really just about making that connection, delivering value both ways. And it's always like, it's such an example of the, you know, the whole is greater than the sum of the parts with sharing information, sports betting. It's just like a fact. So go network. Go DM Drew. Do you have any locks? You know, Drew wants to hear locks for the day, picks for the day. no, but seriously, thank you. Thank you, Drew, for coming on. I had you penned in since I knew that I was going to start doing guests to come on here. So I'm really thankful for you to come on, and we'll get you back on many more times. But yeah, appreciate your time.
Like I said, it was an honor coming on, and, it's going to be cool to look back on this years from now, where it's like, I was one of the first guests on, you know, the Risk Takers podcast when it's one of the biggest podcasts, sports gambling on Spotify, on Apple Music, years from now. Cause I already see the vision, man. I already see it. Like, you have a gift for this type of stuff. And, you know, it's just going to be cool to look back on all of this. And it's like, damn, dude, like, you know, I was one of the first people on there.
That's right. You and Ed Miller too.
Yeah. Yeah. But it was a blast, man. Had a pleasure chatting with you, and, you know, can't wait to keep working together.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I'm sure I'll text you right after this goes off air. So I'll talk to you immediately. But yeah, thanks again. Thanks, everybody, for listening. And yeah, I appreciate everybody who's, you know, we've definitely seen some more people listening. I think the guest format's been a big reason for that. So we're going to keep pushing with that. And yeah, we'll see everybody on the next episode.